The first reading is from Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants, the things that may soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're in Revelation. Hello, everybody, by the way. I'm Tom. It's such a full church, so lovely. I'm Tom. If you've not met me before, I'm the Associate Vicar here. Can I extend to you the welcome that Hannah gave you, especially if you're new, not been here before? It's really great to have you. We're looking at Revelation this term, which is why we thought we'd have a service at the beginning. It's an all-day service that kind of sets up Revelation, starts to explore some of the themes and the things to think about as we go through the book of the Bible. And the reason that Hannah, one of the reasons, she got to ask you what the word apocalypse means is because the Greek word for revelation is apokalypto. It's where we get our word apocalypse. It means for things to be revealed and unveiled. So we're going to be looking at a book called Revelation, or things to be unveiled or revealed. This is why we got you to ask them. It's not always how people see that word in our society now. So that's why we thought we'd have a book to set things up a little bit. To start with, I thought I would share what has been a fun book in our house with you. It's called Goat Goes to Playgroup. If you're able to focus, carry on for a long time. It's a pretty deep and meaningful book. So bear with me, really listening ears on. Playgroup has begun. It's time to have some fun. Cat hangs up her coat. Don't be silly, goat. He's upside down. Squirrel likes the sand. But goat's joined a band. A pot of paint for weasel. Goat knocks down an easel. Dog puts on a dress. Goat is in a mess. A bunch of grapes for goose. Goat spilt his juice. Monkey has a cuddle. Goat is in a puddle. We know about that at the moment in our family. Mouse is sowing seeds. Goat pulls up the weeds. Squirrel likes to sing. Goat falls off the swing. Badger reads a book. Goat decides to cook. It's almost home time. Don't worry. Now it's circle time. Goat would rather climb. Home time. Look who's come. But there's a problem. Can anyone spot the problem with this book at the end? Can anyone spot it? Anyone want to shout out? Giles, what's the problem? What about the last page? It's missing! It's a disaster for goats, because look who's come, and you can't see. His mum's not here. How's goat going to get home? What's going to happen? It's the never-ending book of playgroup for goats. Endings are important, aren't they, in stories? Can you imagine if every story you read didn't have an ending? It'd be like Harry Potter. I don't know how you could handle this. Harry Potter only having six books and not seven. Don't know how we'd cope. It's like, if you know the story of Pride and Prejudice, it's like reading Pride and Prejudice, but Mr. Darcy not proposing to Elizabeth for the second time or whatever at the end, and there being no perfect resolution to that dreamy relationship. It'd be like James Bond never saving the world and just like looking like he won't. All of our stories need an end, don't they? They need a finish. And so does our Christian story, which is actually isn't a story at all. It's a true thing. It's the true Christian story. We live in the story, which has a beginning and an end, but it's true. And Revelation, we know about that story from the books in the Bible. There are 66 books, and Revelation is the last book. And it's got the end in it, which is why it's really important. Because you can't have a story without an end, without a resolution. And Revelation is really important for us as Christians because we need to know the end so that we can know how to live now. And as we begin, we've got this first eight verses over with. I just want to draw attention to one verse, verse 8, because it's about who is writing or giving this message. It's John's writing it, but it's a message from Jesus through John. Now, I don't know if you know this, some of you, but my children might not actually know this, but before phones, the way people got around was they used maps. Do you remember those? They had maps with pictures of places, and you had to find out where you were and then how to get somewhere, and all where you were on the way. I've got an A to Z here of Manchester. It's a little bit old, but it's fine, I think, pretty much. The reason I've got this showing you is because of the name. It's called A to Z, which is a good name because it means something. It means that in this book are all, every single one of the roads in Manchester. And whether they begin with an A to a Z or anything in between, they're in there. It's called A to Z, but it means that it's got the first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet, and it means that anything in between is covered. It's the A to Z of Manchester. It's what you need. Jesus, in verse 8 of this passage we've just read, it's up on the screen, says he's the Alpha and the Omega. That doesn't sound like A to Z, that sounds like A to O. But in Greek, which is this was written in, that's the first letter and the last letter of the alphabet, which means that Jesus is the beginning and the end, not just in things he knows but anything, but he is the complete beginning of the world, and he will be the end of it. And that means, just like with an A to Z on the map, everything in between he is in control of, he has authority over, he's sovereign over, that's a big word. He's the beginning and he's the end, which is why it says, the next little phrase doesn't say who was and who is to come and who is. It emphasizes he is now. He is and who was and who is to come. Because Jesus was in the beginning and he's going to be in the end, he's going to reveal the ending to us, he's also here now with us and he's in control of everything. And so he's the guy, the one, that we should listen to. We're going to hear about Revelation over these next this next half term. We're going to hear the first bits of Revelation, really. But this, as we go through, will you listen to Jesus? Because there's nobody else as qualified to tell you about the end and about how you should live now as him. But there's loads of things we could listen to today. Could listen to Fireman Sam. Could listen to the Paw Patrol pups. You could listen to any influencer on Instagram who's telling you how to live now, but none of them know the end like Jesus does. Because he was, he is to come, and so he is now. And so that's our call, really, as we set up. Will you listen to Jesus? There's no one like him. The thing is, though, often we don't listen to Jesus. We go through our weeks and we struggle to put his voice first and hear him. And so we need to say sorry for that. And we're gonna have our confession now where we say sorry to Jesus for how we sometimes live. Excellent. Right, we're into our second section now. And this is going to be based on the creed, actually, that we just read. Because the word, at the very end of the creed, were some words that are said at the very end of the book of Revelation. The very end of the book of Revelation. Now, there is a song in our house which has, for better, for worse, maybe probably for worse, has become a tune that I hear every day. Perhaps in the holidays, particularly every hour, maybe, of people being awake in our house. We didn't have it before we watched a certain television program, and now it's here, and it's arrived. And it goes, see if you can guess it. My children, you can't speak. I am going to hum it. And I just want to see if you can guess it. You ready? So listen up. I'm going to do it. Get it from that? Get it from that? Anyone? Anyone want to guess? I'll keep going all day. Yes! Yeah. It's Fireman Sam. Everyone knew that, right? Maybe you didn't. Anyway, that's the song in our house. It comes up all the time. Always on the scene, Fireman Sam. We just hear it all the time. And one person who sings it a lot is Teddy. You sing Fireman Sam a lot, don't Teddy? And what I've noticed is he's watched the program. We've all watched the program lots. And what I've noticed folk do is, and this is what children do all over the world all the time, is they don't just watch stuff or hear stories. They then enact them out. Have you done that before? Have you done that when you were a child? You hear a story, or you hear a great story, maybe a princess being rescued, and you act it out, or you act out being a great king in a fight when you're a child. You embody the story and you reenact it and enact it and reenact it and reenact it. And that's what we do with Fireman Sam. So we've got lots of toys, but the most significant of them all, I think, has been this for a good while. This became Fireman Sam's hose for ages. And I was wondering, why are we carrying this around? Why are the children carrying this around, dragging it around the house? And so shouldn't we do that? And then I realized that this was the end, and we're putting out fires all over the house. We act out our stories, and it's quite a cool thing. It's kind of what you're meant to do with stories. Anne tells me that when she was a child, she always related to Pride and Prejudice when she read it, because she thought she was the kind of related to Elizabeth Bennet quite a lot. And then I said, you know, he marries a really rich person. And I was like, well, when did you give up that dream of marrying Elizabeth Bennet? And she didn't answer. We enact our stories out. We embody them. We imagine ourselves in them. It's a common human trait. We all do it. And so too we should with the Christian story, this true Christian story. And we do that, I think. We live in our Christian story and we find ourselves praying and talking to God and living like it's true, because it is true. Jesus is real, and we do talk to him, we pray to him. That's why we're here in church, to hear him speak, to respond to him, to repent, to confess, to hear God's word, to be changed by him, to grow together as a family. But there's one prayer that sometimes Christians, particularly in nicer parts of the world, I think, let drop, or it just happens to drop out of their vocabulary. And it's this prayer that we prayed here. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's in Revelation 22, about 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Verse 20, he who testified to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. And then the writer responds, amen, come, Lord Jesus. It's a prayer of John, representing God's people, wanting Jesus to come back and for it to come soon. Really want him to return. Really, really wants him to return. So I have to ask us, and as we start to look at Revelation, is that a prayer you find yourself praying in your daily prayers in the week? Do you find yourself longing for Jesus to return? Because it has been quite a normal prayer for lots of Christians for thousands of years. At the time this was written, Christians were having a really hard time. The person who wrote it was in prison writing it for talking to people about Jesus and trying to lead people to follow him. churches all over the Roman Empire, which is a big, powerful empire, were under a second load of severe persecution. And they were tempted to give up and stop following him because it would be easier. They were tempted in all sorts of ways, by physical force. People would say, we'll beat you up if you don't follow Jesus. By words, saying, oh, don't follow Jesus. It's not that cool. Don't do that. I don't know if they use the word cool, but they may have done. Don't follow Jesus. It's just a little bit silly. Or they were lured to not follow Jesus. Have an easy life. Don't follow Jesus. Have it easy. Look, all the stuff you can have if you don't follow him, because you won't be able to get the good jobs. People won't like you as much because you'll be bringing up Jesus a bit. Whew. So they're under a lot of pressure, which is why come, Lord Jesus, was a prayer of theirs, because it was hard. And they wanted him to come back because they followed him, they loved him, they wanted him to restore the world. And so they wouldn't be on the outside anymore. They would be on the inside. That's the prayer of Christians, has been for thousands of years. But we need to ask ourselves as we start to look through Revelation, is that a prayer we've forgotten to pray? And if it is, why have we forgotten to pray it or don't pray it much? The churches we're going to read about are being tempted. They're being tempted to leave Jesus behind because of money or because of listening to different teaching or various things. All of those temptations are to make this life the place to live for. And all the time, Jesus says, no, live for me and long for me to come back. Could it be that some of us, perhaps, aren't praying, come, Lord Jesus, because, well, maybe we don't long for him to come back because our hearts are somewhere else? It's a gentle challenge for us as we start to look at Revelation, that it will challenge that. And so it would be good for us to reflect on it. It'd be a really good thing to pray, come Lord Jesus, in our prayers. That's what we're going to do now, actually. Hannah's going to lead us in our prayers together, and she'll use that refrain for us all to say, come Lord Jesus.
The second reading is taken from Revelation chapter 2, reading verses 7, 11, 17, 26, 27, and 28, and Revelation chapter 3, reading verses 5, 12, and 21. Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. The one who conquers and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Revelation chapter 3. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've got a game that I'm going to ask some people to play now. It's not a very serious game, but I think it makes a good point. Hannah, it's going to be one player. Hello, Hannah. Stephen is going to be involved as well, aren't you, Stephen? He is very excited about being involved, he said before. The game is, Hannah, I'd love you to stand over on the first kind of line, dark line that goes out. Just to start off the stage. And I'd love you, what I need you to do, I want you to walk all the way across to the opposite line, okay, over there. But what you've got to do whilst you walk all the way across, if you can, is I need you to do not a cautious, but a proper chicken dance while you're doing it. Okay? So I don't know if people are familiar with the chicken dance. It's somewhat of a universal language, I feel, but I will demonstrate the chicken dance. So you start like this. Your hands go like this, like chicken wings, and they start flapping. Chickens don't just flap when they walk, do they? They have their legs, which go nice and high, which means that they're just sticks out, and then their head goes as well. So it's like that. Okay? Could you give that a go? So when you're ready, anyway, what you need to do is do that all the way across to there. And if you can, in front of all of these people, Hannah, if you can manage it, and you have to stop in front of the camera and do it into the camera as well, if that's okay, because there are lots of people at home watching, and it will go up on YouTube for quite a while. If you can make it, then I'll give you this tub of sweets. Who would do that for this tub of sweets? Yeah? Yeah, we've got some. Not everybody would. Whilst that's happening, though, Stephen is my trusty hard man. He's going to come in, and he's going to tell you how stupid you're looking all the way, just to reinforce it. So it's going to be a real battle for you. Is that okay? Everyone ready? On your marks? Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry about it. Get set. Chicken away. Really, go for it.
That's ridiculous, Anna. That's barely a chicken. Never mind a funky chicken. Is this what chickens on the whirl look like?
She's made it. Well done. Thanks, mate. And now, Hannah, you don't have to do it again. Have a seat. Thank you, Hannah, very much. What the heck was the point of that? The reason is I just wanted to have a visual demonstration for doing something that looks pretty stupid, really. I mean, it didn't look great, did it? It looked a bit awkward, and I mean, we were all laughing. But imagine if you had to do that down the street of Knutsford. Imagine that. I once was challenged to do that in a bar once, and they said, "Oh, we'll buy you a few drinks if you go down the whole bar. Don't let anybody get out your way. You've just got to say, 'Excuse me, can you move, please? I'm doing the chicken dance.'" All the way there, all the way back. And I kind of did it. But it was awkward. People thought I was an absolute idiot doing it. They didn't know the story or anything like that. We've come to our last little talk in Revelation. Had lots of little readings. I don't know if you spotted the common word in all of those readings. Did anyone spot it? The common word? Anyone listening? It was to the one who conquers, to the one who overcomes. We're going to be looking at those letters to Revelation that we just had read from. And there's the same refrain in every single one of them. Because Jesus is really bothered in writing to churches in Revelation. He wants them to overcome, to conquer with Jesus, to stick with him and overcome. But the Christian life is a bit like a walk from one end to another, and sometimes you can look quite silly and stupid, and it can be awkward and hard. It was very hard for the Christians in this first century church. People were saying to them all the time, "You look stupid. You're being stupid. Don't do that." Well, they were tempting them away with money and things like that. They were putting pressure on them from one hand and trying to warm them away on another. And the job of the Christian, all the way through their life, knowing what's to come in the end, that the Lord Jesus is going to return, going to restore everything, or was to keep going and overcome. The job was to overcome, to conquer with Jesus. And what that meant was to keep going, even when the voices... It was a bit tricky at some points when the voices were coming. "You look stupid, Hannah. Don't do it, Hannah." When the thought of all of these people staring at you, "Don't do that, Hannah." It can be a bit like that for the Christian. We're nearly at the end. We're looking forward now into September, where we're going to be learning from the book of Revelation. But I would love you to think of... We're going to do it in groups now, actually. I would love you, if it's possible, to turn into your families or into groups nearby, and I'd just love you to talk about what is the thing that's going to stop you sticking with Jesus and overcoming at the moment. What seems the biggest challenge to your faith right now? Is it that your friends are giving you a hard time? Is it that you're just tired because of COVID and having to do so much extra? Have you got enough energy to keep following Jesus? Is it that you just, I don't know, you're just having a really, really tough time generally, so is it worth it? Is it that actually you know that your life would be a lot easier in terms of the things you could have or what you could do with your money or your time if you didn't say you followed Jesus and wanted to serve the church family and each other? What would be the one thing that's pressing you, encouraging you to stop rather than to keep going with Jesus? Have a little chat, really short, in your groups, just for a minute, and then I'll pray for all of those things we talked about. Okay? I'll go with my kids because they're by themselves. I'm sure you talked about all sorts. Let me pray for us now. We're going to have a few notices, then we'll sing again. Come to the end of our service. There's all sorts of things that could pull us and push us and drag us and challenge us and cause to veer off the path to be with Jesus in the end, to overcome with him. And that's what we're going to be looking at all term. So let me pray now as we start to think about that together this term. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to hear your word again and to be challenged by it and to stir us up into thinking about the ways we're sometimes tempted to drift away from serving and following you with all of our hearts. We've mentioned loads of things here. We lift them all up to you and pray over these weeks and months, you would give us courage and strength to overcome them as you draw near to us and help us. Help us to be bold in our faith. Give us your spirit and help us to be an encouragement to one another in that as well. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.